I'm Gabby Hall, and today I will be interviewing Tia Dubuisson as part of my series on women in STEM. Tia, thank you for joining me.
For having me here, it's really great to reconnect with you. My name is Tia Dubuisson. As you have mentioned, I am the co-founder and president of Bellflower Technologies. And we are a consulting firm that is focused in data and analytics solutions and delivering those to our customers. And helping them to basically get the most out of the data insights. Like, having data is not enough, but actually having actionable, you know, items out of that data or recommendations, that's what everybody wants, right? So taking the data lake and the data story beyond a buzzword and really making it something that's tangible, actionable, and usable.
Awesome. That's so great. Could you tell us a little bit about your journey of getting into STEM?
Absolutely. So my journey, I guess, into STEM, actually, if we go way back, I always thought I would be a lawyer. And I remember my summer before going to college, I actually went to intern for a corporate lawyer, and I hated it. I thought there was no way, and nothing against corporate lawyers. We love lawyers. We have lawyers. I'm so glad that that's, you know, it's, I think it's important to know what you want to do as much as you don't, you know what you don't want to do. And I think that summer I found out, okay, I have a lot of respect for lawyers and what they do, but I couldn't see myself doing that for the rest of my life, personally. So I switched and said, okay, I'm going to go pre-med then. And that's what I did. I switched my major pretty much almost day one of going to school and college. And along that path, we had to take obviously multiple classes that are STEM related, you know, along the biological sciences, physical sciences, as well as chemistry. And I ran across microbiology and absolutely fell in love with it. And I said, definitely, that's where I want to focus. So instead of going to medical school, I decided to go to grad school for microbiology and really focused on the life sciences, really focused on earlier in my career, developing medical devices, actually doing vaccine production, which is a hot item nowadays, and actually doing preclinical drug discovery work to help to shorten the treatment window for tuberculosis. So I got to dabble in all of those. When I was working and doing my work for TB in the lab, there was a group that came and said they had computer software where they could actually show us from our active, they could make a million different compounds with the computer and actually kind of predict activity off of that. And that blew me away because I had never experienced that. And when we didn't choose them to actually write the grant, I was kind of disappointed because I really wanted to dabble in that. And it really caught my interest and it never really left my mind. And for a whole year, I thought about that and I said, you know what? I probably need to make a decision. Am I going to keep working the same analog way? Or am I really, really going to take a look at what data and computer science and what can that really look like for my career? Is that where it's going? And sure enough, had a conversation with the co-founder, and he said, absolutely, at that time, we didn't have Bellflower. I was working for another company, and he said, in 10 years, every industry will be data-driven. And sure enough, you're seeing about a decade later, we are here, right? Data is the new bacon, the new oil, the new gold, whatever you want to call it. This is the conversations that we're having across all industries. So here we are.
For any listeners who are interested in a career like yours, what do you think is the most important thing that they can learn?
The most important thing, I think when I peeled back the onion, I knew that there were some deficits that I definitely had, especially, you know, although I was in STEM already and we worked with data, I needed to dive a little deeper and kind of sharpen some skill sets so far as getting, you know, certifications. Because when you're talking about data and processing data, you really need a lot of compute power. So you're probably looking at cloud computing, definitely. So looking at how can you get some of those, you know, certifications like on AWS or some of the other cloud providers to help you along. There's a ton of content out there to help you do that. Number two, I would say definitely look at the process in which these platforms and software are developed. You really want to look at going agile as much as possible. A lot of times that's how software is developed. And I think it's not something that's really taught in school. So it's definitely something you're going to have to go outside of that box to really dive into that. You can also get certifications in that as well, should you want to go more on that side. But you're going to have to know how to work in agile teams to really iterate and innovate and keep up with, you know, the way technology basically seems like every day there's something new that comes out. You want to be able to keep up with that and stay ahead of the curve. So I would say process is super important. But the number one thing would be people. You have to really learn how to work with all different types of people to be able to drive a solution to success over the finish line. So I would say definitely learn some of those skill sets as well. Again, not something you always learn in school. This may be something you have to take offline, but I would definitely say look at people, process, and then platform for sure.
Great. So you mentioned AWS. Could you tell us a little bit about what AWS is and what it could be used for?
Yes. So Amazon Web Services is a cloud provider. They actually, if you think about it, it's the same as our electric power grid, right? They actually have the power grid, and we can then, you know, just like your local maybe FP&L, like for us, we're in Florida, Florida Power and Light. We are then able to utilize electricity at the switch of, you know, just flipping a switch in our home, and we have electricity, or we can switch it off, and we only pay for what we use. And you don't have to have a power plant in your backyard. You don't have to maintain and, you know, cool, you know, and do all of that, right? You just consume. And that's the same way they've done with compute power. Basically, they've taken compute power and they are the power plant, if you will, of the compute power that you can then say, hey, if I need to spin up, you know, X amount of compute to actually process this amount of data, you're able to do that literally at the click of a button. And when you don't need it anymore, you literally can shut it down instead of owning the whole server farm and doing the cooling, heating, the security, and keeping it, you know, and owning it 100% of the time, whether you're using it or not. It's similar to at your house. You wouldn't keep all your lights on, right? Even whether you're home or not, to actually utilize it in every single room. So it kind of has that same concept, if you will, for computing.
That's really interesting. So since you are a woman in your, how do you feel being a woman has impacted your career?
I would have to say it's been on both sides. I would have to say more positive though than negative. I would have to say, especially during these times, you see a lot of outreach for women, reskilling, a lot of diversity, you know, initiatives and talks, and more so than that, actually people putting, you know, some wheels into motion. So I would say now more than ever, you probably can find a good support for women in tech or women in STEM in general, period. Than probably earlier in the career, right? I will say there are still challenges. I remember being in a meeting with a client, and my co-founder was also there, who's a male. And basically, he told me that I probably, you know, we were trying to plan our next steps, and I think it was going to be a meeting that was going to be later in the day and probably go into the evening. And he said, shouldn't you be at home taking care of your kids? So I just thought it was interesting. I said, I wonder how many other, you know, male customers or counterparts actually feel that if a woman, you know, in STEM or just a woman in general is working beyond a certain time, that she's not by some means taking care of her kids. Mm-hmm. And how come that was not posed to any of the males in the room, which all of them had kids as well. So I thought that that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the guys called him out actually from his team and said, wow, like you really can't say that. But I thought that was really interesting. I mean, I didn't say anything and said, hey, you know, I just took it in because I said, you know, I think that's interesting. And then you just have to see it from other people's point of view. I really like to do that a lot of the time, whether it, you know, I agree with it or not. What prompts that person to feel that that is the right thing to say, and how can we change the narrative on that? I'm always trying to think about it from that lens. So I think there's still some challenges, as you can you could imagine. And how many people feel that way and just don't say anything? That could be very interesting as well too. So
do you feel like as a woman there's more pressure for you to balance your work life and your home life?
I think I felt that earlier on in my career. I think my children are older now, so you know they're a lot more self-sufficient. At the same time, I've also learned work-life balance. So even when I didn't have my own company and I was working for others, I struggled with that work-life balance. I think you know, women do feel that extra pressure because there is a lot of that. It's kind of unsaid and sometimes said, as you know, we mentioned in meetings, where they kind of call you out and you're like, wow, you really do start to, you know, question yourself, you know, and ask your kids, I mean, have I been there for you enough? So I think there are some challenges, and I think you have to look at different types of challenges, single mothers, like there's a lot of different pressures that are, that can be out there. But I think there are ways that even within our company that we've tried to address that.
Thank you, Tia.